Nompumelelo Siziba on SAFM.
The Broad-Based Black Economic Empowerment Commission says BBBEE transactions are lagging in the area of compliance, with fronting being flagged yet again as a key problem. But broadly, what's the progress in this area? And to what extent are poor economic fundamentals also hampering movement in getting more black people to participate in the economy in a meaningful way? Well, to share some highlights that came out of the Commission's fourth annual conference, I'm joined on the line by Yvonne Jiwan. She's an Associate Principal at Bravura. Yvonne, what trends have you observed in terms of the BBBEE transactions in the last number of years? What sectors are we seeing these types of transactions happening in? And typically, how are they being financed? Is vendor financing still a big thing?
Thanks, Nompu. When you look at the transformation over the last 20 years, what you find is that each sector comes with a particular set of challenges. Requiring specific investor profiles. If you look at the lag of ownership in the agri sector, which is lagging at 4%, this very much is closely linked with the challenge of black agricultural land ownership. But on the other hand, when you look at the financial services sector, you look at the transport or tourism sector, they actually weigh ahead in terms of meeting transformation targets. And the reason for this is that these sector charters has actually been implemented way before the other sector charters. So over time, you'll find that they've actually complied. With respect to your transactions that were previously implemented,
yes,
based on the old code, you very much find that shareholders are still locked in or cannot exit, but are still currently being assessed on the revised code. What that means is that they will automatically drop the capital levels on the scorecard.
Hmm.
Then if you start to look at the JSE listed companies, they have an average ownership score, which is lower than that of private. And when you dig deeper, what you see is that the investor profile for listed companies is mainly made up of asset management companies or state-owned entities who don't contribute to your ownership score unless the mandated exclusion principle applies. So what that means is that they actually would form part of your denominator when you are being scored for ownership, although they don't contribute to your ownership.
Hmm.
And that, in essence, would drop your BE score as well. But I think the big picture here is that the ownership figures still remain highly skewed. In particular, you'll find black women ownership is a key concern at about a 9% average. You also find that the control of boards of SA-listed entities are still concentrated within the hands of white and foreign males at about 58%,
hmm,
with black males accounting for about 20%, black females at 80%, and white females lagging at about 4%.
Hmm.
So the big picture here is that this is still highly skewed.
Why do you think these JSE-listed companies seem to be faltering in this regard when many of them have a policy of trying to get better gender and race representativity?
For the reason I've given you earlier, it's just based on the investor profiles, the requisite skills that's required. So they have not yet, they have not been transformed to the extent the private equity has.
Mm. So in practice, when doing a broad-based black economic empowerment transaction, does it have to be brought to the attention of the BBBEE Commission for them to advise on whether it complies with legislation?
So the way it works is you don't get approval from the BEE Commission to, for your transaction. Once you implement a transaction, you would then, if it's considered a major transaction, you would then register it with the BEE Commission.
Okay.
For them to assess it. But you would not get approval for it like the way you would in terms of, the Competition Commission or the Takeover Regulation Panel or the JSC, which does cause some concern because once you've implemented and it's being assessed, might need to take remedial action if the commission is not satisfied.
Yeah.
But what they do allow you to do, a free service, and they encourage this, is to request an advisory opinion prior to implementation of your transaction, which basically raises some red flags in terms of, what wouldn't work from a implementation perspective, and they would provide suggestions in terms of remedy. So that is strongly encouraged that you do, prior to implementation, get that advisory opinion.
Okay, so you would go to a company like Bravura, for example, to get that type of advice?
No, so you would go to the BEE commissioner and you would provide them the details of your transaction.
Yes.
And they would provide you an advisory opinion to confirm if your transaction complies in terms of the BEE codes, and if there's any deviation from the philosophical themes and spirit of transformation.
Oh, I see. So with a firm like yours, with a Bravura, for example, which is an expert in this field, could a company or a deal maker approach you for this type of advice?
So we would generally be involved with the actual structuring of the transaction. So we'll advise companies on the structuring elements of the transaction. Mm. We'll advise them with respect to the sustainability and the structure around that. We'll also advise them in terms of, from a funding perspective, the type of funding that will be required. So that Bravura would play a part from that perspective.
Right. So you recently attended the BEE Commission's fourth annual conference, where they were highlighting the progress made in relation to this area, particularly around transactions, compliance with law, and so on. And it seems that fronting continues to rear its ugly head. Just tell us about that.
That is correct. Fronting still remains the biggest challenge, and it's becoming increasingly sophisticated. Just last year, there's been 125 reports of fronting. Just last week, the Minister of Trade and Finance made a bold statement saying we are going to ruthlessly eradicate any non-compliance.
Yeah.
Which is, it's obvious that they're taking this very seriously.
But Yvonne, just illustrate to us, the cases that you've heard about where fronting takes place, because we don't really hear anything in the public domain about people being punished for this.
So there have been about 17 public investigations that were announced last year. Not all of them necessarily involved fronting, but did involve non-compliance or regulatory non-compliance. Hmm. But in terms of fronting practices, there's three that I could chat about. One is the window dressing. These include cases in which black people are appointed or introduced to an enterprise on the basis of tokenism and are discouraged or inhibited from participating in the core activities of a company. So, or they would tell you you need to participate in very specific areas. So you're not really involved in the operations of the entity.
Yes.
The second case would be benefit diversion. This includes initiatives implemented where the economic benefits received as a result of the BEE status of an enterprise do not flow to black people in the ratio as specified in terms of the legal agreement. Hmm. So it's diverted. And the other one is the opportunistic intermediary. These include enterprises that have concluded agreements with other enterprises with a view to leveraging the opportunistic intermediary's favorable BEE status. The other one that the commissioner has highlighted is the complexity around transaction structures, where it becomes difficult to determine and trace the economic benefits that flows to black shareholders.
And, of course, they have warned against that. They've cautioned against that, saying that the more complex a deal is, the more likely they're going to come down hard on deal makers around that. And what sort of sanctions would they be able to exercise or, put against people who violate or don't comply with their rules?
In some instances, this could be criminal proceedings against the company if fronting is suspected. The background is that fronting per se was only introduced into legislation in the BEE Amendment Act in 2013 and implemented in 2014. Fronting was then formally criminalized in that piece of legislation. The consequences of being found guilty of fronting is a fine or imprisonment of up to 10 years. If it's a company, then the fine could be up to 10% of the company's annual turnover, and potentially even barring them from continuing further business with any state-owned entities for a period of up to 10 years.
Right. So the local economy has not been kind to business at all, and we see confidence levels both at the business and consumer level still quite low. So to what degree do you think the lackluster economy also has put a spanner in the works of cultivating more empowerment deals in the same way that we've seen broader M&A activity slowing?
Yeah, I think we need to look at it that transformation is a business imperative. And what you would find is that in order to remain competitive in this environment, especially within the public sector where a lot of your source of revenue comes from the government, etc., there's almost need to transform. So that being said, you know, each sector, each company would need to assess it on that merit.
That was Yvonne Jiwan. She's Associate Principal at Bravura.